ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
I'm John Batchelor with the author and historian and broadcaster, Embers of the Hands, Hidden Histories of the Viking Age by Eleanor Barraclough, who reads her book brilliantly. And we're now going to go into another mystery that is extremely scary. It's a cave, a lava cave, on Iceland, I believe, called Surt. And in that cave is a belief system. Let's descend into the cave. I'm presuming you haven't yet, Eleanor. If you have, I want to hear about it.
No, I'm desperate to. I haven't. The archaeologists who've been, exploring this cave system, they're wonderful. I've had some incredible conversations with them, and I'm just itching for them to take me in. I'm not sure it's going to happen, but essentially, this is a bit like when we're talking about Estonia, and this is evidence that has only recently come to light. The same is true of this cave. It's called Surtshellir. And Hellir is just the word for cave. Surtr is this fire giant who appears at Ragnarok. Now, we can't trace the name Surtshellir back to the time when what's happening in the cave is happening. So that's important to say. But certainly that association between this fire giant and this lava field and what's underneath the lava field does come fairly early. And so, you know, it is also a possibility that that is exactly what is going on. So when the archaeologists first found this cave, which is in this Hafrmundarhrein, this huge lava field from this eruption, this volcanic eruption that took place in around 900, when the archaeologists first found the cave, they thought maybe it was somewhere the outlaws had been hiding out. I remember speaking to the archaeologists. I said, well, what gave you the clue that it might not be outlaws? He said, well, there was no poo. And of course, if you've got humans living there for a long time, you expect to see a lot of sort of evidence of organic human activity. And that's not the case here. And what actually seems to be happening is even more extraordinary than an outlaw hideout. Because if you go deep, deep, deep into the cave, like through kilometers, like miles into this lava field, you find first a wall, a huge wall that someone has built deep under the ground in the pitch black. And then past the wall, you find, I think it's 7 huge piles of unburned animal bones, like absolutely enormous, meters across. And then you keep going. What the archaeologists found was what appears to be sort of stones made in the shape of a boat. So it's almost like, you know, you imagine the outline of a boat. And then on the other side of that boat, and this is important, the cave continues. But inside the boat, people had been leaving offerings. And all the offerings they were leaving are things that are associated with fire and with burning. So it's orpiment and it's fire starters like jasper and it's burnt bones and it's glass, you know, that's obviously born of great heat as well. And so the archaeologists started to think that there's something else going on here. And what they now think is that people were leaving offerings possibly to the fire giant or the fire being that they felt dwelled beyond this stone boat outline further into the lava field. And what then happens is Iceland converts to Christianity officially in around the year 1000. Nice, easy date to remember. A couple of decades after that, the final offerings are left in the middle of this stone boat. And this time, one of those offerings is a metal cross. And so what they think is happening is that someone comes for the last time to leave the final offering and leave that fire being by themselves deep under the lava field. And so it's this sense that, okay, are they leaving offerings to try and placate whatever being they think caused the volcanic eruption? This was the first major eruption that the Icelanders would have witnessed after they settled Iceland, starting sort of about 30 years before the volcano went off. And so is that what we're seeing? Just now and again, people are visiting this cave deep under the ground, under the lava field, and leaving offerings to whatever beings are there underneath the ground.
If they imagine this as a meeting place between the two worlds, do those worlds comport with the fire and ice? Is that what they're thinking?
I wonder that. Yes, I think that's a really beautiful way of thinking about it, because it is. It's this sort of liminal space of sort of productivity in a way. It's a space of meeting, and we find within, within sort of like the belief structures that we can access, we find this idea of liminality again and again. So one of the earliest things, in fact, I open it with the prologue, is offerings in a bog in Denmark that are being left sort of hundreds of years before what we think of as the start of the Viking Age. You know, if we think of the 8th century, we're talking back sort of, you know, the 1st century, 2nd century. But it's this idea, once again, that people are leaving offerings to the beings who are on the other side, and in this case, the other side of the water, and in the case of the lava field, on the other side of that boat. And it's what you find in the middle of that that's so sort of uncertain and so wonderful.
There's a poem that describes violence, flames, and the end. The question is, the end of what? And Eleanor, your interpretation, or a interpretation of this, is that it's not about the cave, it's about the end of the world. Do I read that correctly?
Yeah, so this is the poem. It's preserved in a later saga, and the story, so kind of 13th, 14th century, and the story goes that there are two men sheltering in a cave from a winter snowstorm.
This is a terrific story. It's a terrific opening.
Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? Yes. Yeah, I mean, seriously, the sagas are, you know, for pure storytelling magic, there's nothing that beats the sagas. And this is sort of, you know, post-conversion. So they trace a Christian cross with their knife and they perch close to the entrance. Like, just imagine, you know, how you'd feel in the middle of this snowstorm. And then the story goes that they see two glowing eyes the size of full moons that appear at the back of the cave. And this is, so the story goes, a mountain giant, you know, of the sort that maybe is under the ground in Surtshellir. And the mountain giant starts to say a poem, and it's full of fire and volcanic imagery and mythology. And part of it says, dark flames drive the spit, split the mountain ridge, embers shoot rushing upward, the roaring of the spark storm. You know, it's just pure volcanic imagery. But there are 12 verses, I think, to this poem. And as it goes on, it's the end of this world. It's the end of possibly, not the end of sort of the world in a physical sense, but the end of a way of life. And in this case, the end of a pagan way of life, possibly. Or maybe it is describing Ragnarok, but it's essentially saying, you know, we're all being driven underground. You know, I'll fight anyone, but I'm going down northwards, down the hell road, down to the underworld. And it's this idea that essentially the clay folk, these giants, are gathering together in the darkness because the end of their world has come, and now it's a new Christian world order. And so it's that wonderful way of, you know, that the Norse mythology does so beautifully, where it combines sort of the physicality of the world, which, I mean, in Iceland is this dramatic world of ice and fire, with the worlds in people's heads. And, you know, that the mythological creatures that are conjured out of our imaginations.
The book is Embers of the Hands, Hidden Histories of the Viking Age. Eleanor Barraclough is the author. We're going to turn now to endings of the Viking Age, three of them.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.